Listen, y'all, I know I typically give the generic in this episode of Entrepreneurial Appetite, blah, 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 blah. But I'm not going to do that this time because we have a very special bonus episode featuring Anastasia Jackson. And this young woman deserves more than just the generic introduction. She is the founder and CEO of We Night Inc., a company that uses artificial intelligence to improve the experiences of HBCU faculty, staff, and students. And for those of you who have gone to HBCUs, you know we love our institutions, but at the same time, we have complaints about systems and processes that are at times inefficient. And this woman decided that she wasn't going to be a complainer, that she was going to go do something about the issues that she saw in her own HBCU experience and decided to found a company that would provide a solution. So Anastasia, just tell us a little bit about who you are, what you're doing, but also tell us the story of the worst day of your life.
Thank you. So I'm Anastasia Jackson. I was born in Oakland, California. So you can imagine when I went to Howard University, it was definitely a culture shock for me coming from the suburbs to the city. And yeah, the worst day of my life was actually my first day on Howard's campus. When I got there, I had a $16,000 hold. Don't know how that's possible. My housing had been given to somebody else. And also my classes on my schedule just magically disappeared. So I really spent that first semester just trying to figure out how do I solve these problems. And to my surprise, everybody's response was pretty much the same. It was like, oh yeah, I've had that similar issue. Or yeah, that happened to me too. That's common. And it wasn't just students, current students. It would be like alumni that I was talking to that went back in, you know, 1980s, and they had the same exact problems. And so just a little more transparency, that made me very, very depressed because I'm like, this is something I'm supposed to just accept. This is like the common trauma bond between not only HBCUs, but there's PWIs that experience this too. And I was like, you know what? No, I can't accept this. There has to be some solution. We just haven't created it yet. And now we have with We Night.
I just have to say, when I listen to your 3-minute pitch about your story of getting there and having all of this chaos, you know, you're coming from the other side of the country, your first time away from home, which what's supposed to be an extended period of time, right, for many students. And you're right. That is a common experience among a lot of HBCU current students and alum going all the way back. Everybody knows, right? Man, you made me think about so many things. And it's like we normalize that, yeah, it's going to be like this, but I still love my HBCU. We normalize the thing that's bad about our experience and we just accept it. And we use that as almost like fuel for our unconditional love for our institutions. Yeah. I don't think that the love is wrong, but the acceptance of the processes and systems that don't necessarily allow us to have the best experiences is something that we shouldn't accept. And I'm just impressed by the fact that you decided to come up with a solution. So talk a little bit about what We Night is and what it actually does.
So We Night is an AI-centered technology. We use React Native. So things that you see with Instagram, YouTube, they use React AI. And then we also use blockchain. So that information is secure, but you also have ownership of your data and the content that you create. And really, we just focus on streamlining the operations and the communication aspect of the HBCU, the entire HBCU ecosystem. So for our first feature, we have the class scheduling feature, where whether you want to graduate in 3 years and you're part of 5 different orgs with all these time constraints, AI can quickly, within seconds, make you a class schedule to fit your needs and then go further to actually book that appointment with your advisor. So you don't have to go back and forth in emails with that advisor. And like, that's just one feature. So just imagine all the other operations and communications that you need to just attend and matriculate at your HBCU.
When did you graduate from Howard?
I'm class of 2021.
So you're fresh, right?
Yep.
In my mind, were you working on We Night while you were a student?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That traumatizing event, like that was that semester I decided like, no, I am going to create the solution. If not for me, then for the person right behind me.
Yeah. And so it's interesting. You did this after having come to Howard, had that experience, but then you were building this during COVID times,
which is
even more significant. Can you talk a little bit about how Howard supported you or where did you get your support to build and come up with a solution on campus? Were there any mentors, people who were sponsoring you? How did that occur?
So honestly, that's one thing I do love about Howard and all HBCUs is that networking is really strong. So I talked to a lot of people about Unite when I was a student. They weren't really able to help me as far as like supporting me with a team or anything material because I didn't even know I didn't have all that structure capital ready in my like how I wanted it to be. But they did give me a lot of wisdom and a lot of support. They always made sure that they told me that this is something that we do need. So please keep going, like figure it out by any means. We need this. But I will want to say that Howard is our pilot school. So they did later come back and partner with us. We have now access to all 50,000 students, faculty and staff on their platform. So I mean, in their school. So they do support us and all these features, we're doing it with them first.
That's good. So Howard allowed you to test on their campus.
Correct. We're doing that now. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I'm going to be 39 on Friday. And so
happy birthday.
Thank you. So I'm going to be 39 on Friday. So I'm not old, but I'm older. Yeah. Like I'm thoroughly in my adulthood. Right. And so, you know how old Black people are. It's like, man, I'm so proud of this young lady right here. You know what I'm saying? They gas you up a little bit. So like, I feel like I'm old enough to do that to you. Like now I understand how like the elders felt like when I was in grad school, getting my master's and PhD and they just like, and I think it's just normal stuff.
But yeah.
But the way that they feel, like, that's how I feel about you right now.
Wow.
That common bond where we just, my advisor didn't show up to the meeting today. You know what I'm saying? But your advisor at a Black college, a lot of people don't know this, is oftentimes, sometimes also your professor, right?
Yeah, so, literally.
Yeah. Your professor has classes. They have other hundreds, 80, 90 students that they also have to advise. And so finding a tech solution to make those things easier, I think is a brilliant idea. And maybe it'll help us not lose that because I know, so I work at a large Hispanic serving institution now that in some ways functions like a PWI. And so what I mean by that is that the students, their advisor is an advisor and their faculty member professors are professors. So there's no overlap.
Nice.
What the students miss at this minority serving institution, the HSI, is that they don't have the same relationship with me that I had with my advisor, who was also my professor. So it was mandatory for that professor to sit down with me at least 10 to 15 minutes extra every semester to figure out where I was going. And the conversations that happened because of that are the reason why I was able to go to graduate school. And so I think what you're doing is a solution for things that maybe are built into the culture of the HBCU, but making those things sustain in a more modern type of way. So
You're right. There's another HBCU that we're working with. And literally there is, for all of the international students, there is one person, only one, who is in charge of all of that. And they use paper. So one of the faculty said, like, when they go into this person's room, her desk is full of paper so high that you can't even see her face. So just imagine with technology, all those papers go away. You got more time to connect and do what the networking that we love, the family relationships that we have with your community. Yeah.
So I got connected to you by Asha Farah. And I think both of you have somewhat of a common story, right? And we think about the HBCU journey as being one where we are incubated. It is meant to be a space where maybe you don't feel the microaggressions and all of those things that you would experience outside of the walls of Howard University or whatever HBCU. But Howard has also provided you all with this other opportunity as alum to build and grow your businesses, right? So talk about the program that you were in with Asha to help facilitate the growth and put you in a position to pitch your idea, grow your idea, and all of those things.
Yes. So it was a accelerator program called Pitch HU, directed by Terry Adams, as well as Ajit. And it was really, really great. It was like they give that hands-on experience of actually breaking down your business model. Who is your target audience? Because for me, I could say the whole HBCU ecosystem, but like really, if you had to choose one, who is it? The student. And so taking that time one-on-one to really have us question the way that we're strategizing, the way that we're executing on our businesses really helps open up our minds. Like it's growing pains. So I will say that it's growing pains, but it helps. And like, that's not the only opportunity that Howard gives. They just recently launched their entrepreneurship center that's partnered with PNC, the biggest donation a bank has ever given in HBCU. I think it was $16.1 million to do this. And it's not just Howard. So there's Howard, there's Bowie, there's Morgan, there's multiple HBCUs, and they want to go to all of them. And even that, like that initiative to, okay, no, look, we want to grow the Black economy. We spend like, what was it, $1.6 trillion? The Black community is the number one spender out of all of the communities. So like to be able to really like curate and have these not so transparent resources available for all of us entrepreneurs, I just love that they're focused on it and making it a priority.
I know that you mentioned Prudential's investment in historically Black colleges. Can you talk a little bit about how historically Black colleges can foster this sense of entrepreneurship among their students while they're undergrads, even if they don't have funding from Prudential?
Yeah, I'll touch on that. So honestly, networking, hosting spaces, having that space to where the entrepreneurs on the campus can just come and talk with each other. There's this, I love this quote from, who is it? I think it's Issa Rae. And she's like, you need to network across, not network up or down, like across from you. And really just hearing other entrepreneurs who are in your same shoes, their stories and how they're overcoming their challenges, you'll be so surprised on how fast you guys will overcome it together. There's this other quote that goes, if you want to collapse time, collaborate. And it's so true. Like, it's so true. So just if HBCUs would just take the time to like, hey, let's have a networking event. Hey, let's do like a quick conference where those who aren't in the business school, but there's a lot of other business owners, like let's just give them the space to learn together, to grow together.
I'm nervous. My breath is taken away by you.
Wow.
And I'm also like, because listen, I think one of the things that we all want to do as alum is go back and contribute to the betterment of our HBCUs, right? And so that's something that I've chosen to do. And some other folks in my circle of folks who have gone to get their PhDs are like plotting to do it at A&T. Like, how do we work our way in there to give back to grow the legacy? And so that came to you a lot earlier than it came for me. And so I look at you as someone who has accelerated beyond your years in ways that maybe you don't even understand. What you're doing is it's crazy transformative, because in my mind, I know you have to have this narrow focus. Your focus is on the students.
Yeah.
And that's primary and it's necessary. But scaling to smaller private HBCUs, the public HBCUs. I think about my time as a school teacher in K-12 schools. I was a PE teacher for the elementary school in a K-8 school. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't the first grade classroom teacher, Ms. Jackson. Okay, Ms. Jackson had 15 to 20 first graders in her class. So those students with disabilities had an IEP or a 504 plan. She maybe had like 1/10 of the students in her class. So maybe two that had an IEP, maybe three at the most. But because I taught all the students in the school, I get there the first day and there's a stack of papers that's above my head, like the lady you described that has to deal with the international students.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to sort through the applications for We Night. I think for me, long term, throughout the educational ecosystem, it's tremendous. And so I'm glad I got to interview you early. I hope I'm the first person to ever interview you on a podcast, because I'm going to say I knew her. I got her first. So
I want to say I resonate with that. I before I went full time We Night, I too was a PE teacher for middle school. So I get it. Over 500 students. I get it.
Really? What was your major?
Sports medicine.
Stop playing. So you were basically like a kinesiology major, right? Were you? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I teach in a kinesiology department now at the university that I work at. And you know, like PE is kind of kines and education. So, okay, here's my, for those students and for those, let's start with the students. For those students who are encountering an issue at their HBCU, and it could be something, a systemic problem that exists, like the housing issues and things like that, just navigating the information and the data getting messed up. Or it could be something as simple as, I don't like my roommate. That happens everywhere.
Yeah.
What advice would you give them to orient themselves to being the solution and not the complainer?
I love that. So I always love to say self-advocacy, right? So you take ownership of your life and you have this thought of how you want your life to go. So your roommate, this is not how you imagine this next year that you're about to spend your space, like this isn't the safe space that you want it for you. So like advocate for that. And no matter how many no's you get, just internalize it as not yet. Like this is not the person that I need to talk to yet. I need to talk to somebody else. This isn't the person, because there's always a solution. There's always a solution. You just have to discover it and you have to let it come to you.
And so what conversations do you have? Would you have with alumni? Here's the question. Okay. Howard has a lot of prestigious alumni.
Yes.
Lots. Okay. What is your pitch to the wealthy alumni to support students who are interested in entrepreneurship on HBCU campuses?
Okay. So I would say my pitch to alumni would be, those were once your shoes. So to really remember the help that you needed or the help that you gained, the mentorship, that countless knowledge that you got from your alumni, and really just give it back. Like it's a pipeline. And so in order for a pipeline to work, it has to be free flowing both ways. There's plenty of students hungry, ambitious, ready to get into those prestigious roles like our alumni are now. And so to really just pour into them, pour into those entrepreneurs that are already on their way, already doing those great things.
And what's your elevator pitch for someone, whether they be alumni or anyone, to support WeUnite and invest in the work that you're doing?
I would say to the alumni, HBCUs have continued to support the Black community since, I would say, 1837. And so it's only right for us to start supporting our HBCUs. And in doing that, that means actually supporting our infrastructure and our systems so that HBCUs will not crumble in time. So supporting WeUnite is supporting HBCUs.
And our last question before we log off is, what do you envision WeUnite being in the future? What's your biggest, wildest dreams for what WeUnite is able to accomplish and do?
We're starting at HBCUs, but we're not ending there. We actually also plan to go to other universities, large universities or large corporations, and especially the healthcare system. Imagining a world where you actually get to be proactive about your health, like be able to go to the hospital to go for yoga classes or taking a cooking class versus going because you're sick or, you know, emergency room level. And using a system like this would be able to bring those resources to people.
Anastasia Jackson, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you. Thank you for joining us.
I appreciate you for having me.
For sure. Thank you for joining this edition of Entrepreneurial Appetite. If you like the episode, you can support the show by becoming one of our founding 55 patrons, which gives you access to our live discussions and bonus materials. Or you can subscribe to the show, give us 5 stars, and leave a comment.